You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild in the studio with us. Jess is on the board, you on the lines. My understanding, the Harris interview is going on Fox News right now. We will do our best to get that sound and bring it to you. In the meantime, we've got some callers holding over from the last hour. Nick from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Nick. What do you got for us?
Hey, yes, I have a big problem with the child tax credit because I'm not a breeder. I don't have kids.
Okay.
I have to pay more taxes.
Well, you don't have kids, but you also pay taxes for the schools, right? Maybe, you know what I'm saying? And you don't maybe not take the bus lines, but we have mass transit. So do you have to be receptive of the thing in order to support it, Nick?
No, I don't think I do because, don't get me wrong, I have two nieces I love to death, and my brother takes a child tax credit. Of course he does. Yes. But I can't do that because I don't have kids. So I'm paying more taxes because I'm not a breeder.
Okay. But you hear what I'm saying though, Nick. There's lots of things that perhaps you may not be using. Maybe you don't use the park systems. Maybe you don't drive on the roads a lot. I mean, aren't there things that we as taxpayers use and provide for that not every single person uses? And if that's your only criteria, I guess I don't know what to tell you, Nick. Matt, you got any thought on that for Nick?
Thanks for the call, Nick, by the way. But I do think Dom is making the right point here. Just because you don't, you know, take advantage of every possible thing that the government offers doesn't mean it's bad for the government to offer that to some people. And the understanding is that people who have children, you know, have extra expenses. It's harder to make a go of things. And so the government should help them out a little bit. I mean, the government gives all sorts of tax benefits to people all the way across the board for a whole variety of things, including fossil fuel use.
That's their choice.
Well, yeah, and Nick, the term breeder is kind of offensive. I mean, some people do have adopted children, have stepchildren, you know. So thanks for the call, man. But if your only criteria is supporting some sort of thing is if you are the beneficiary thereof, I think you're kind of missing the point to a large degree of we the people, man. You know, there's a lot of people that are hurting in North Carolina right now because of those hurricanes. Do you think we should not have FEMA because your house didn't get hit by the hurricane, Nick? I mean, it's just a little out there. Well, I get it. It's kind of a libertarian thought. I get that. But ultimately, this is for the betterment of lots of people, not just the individuals. 855-752-4842. Joe from Madison, you'll be next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, you guys. Great discussion with Gwen Moore, but also great discussion prior to that on where we are going if we elect the fascist that is right before us, and that would be Mr. Trump. And I think that one of the things that's interesting, you were talking about, well, what happens if they decide to just, he just decides to say, oh, Insurrection Act, and start jailing whoever he regards as, you know, the vermin, the enemies within. I would argue that the enemies within may be people that didn't expect to be enemies within. For example, once he starts with this idea of taking the people who work in dairies, all of the various immigrants who work in the dairies in Wisconsin and other places across the country, geez, I think there might be a lot of dairy farmers that are marching on Washington and might be subject to that Insurrection Act, and they didn't really have any idea that they too might be carted off. I would also add to this that I think once veterans start to take a look at what's being proposed in that Project 2025, where it says, it actually says in there that they want to ensure that there is political control of the Veterans Administration from day one by replacing civil servants with political appointees. Oh, gee, that wouldn't be a problem. Not at all. Particularly because then they're talking about basically changing the disability ratings as to how people are whether they can apply or not, downward, because they don't want so many. They don't want people going to get disabled, to be described as disabled from their service, and to be eligible for all of the benefits that arrive at that. Holy cow! This is a group of people who were promised when they entered. They were promised that they would be taken care of if they were disabled, and they wanted, for example, they want to say certain things might not be a disability anymore and covered. So, for example, with veterans, depression might not be covered anymore. Gee, you don't see too many veterans suffering from depression and related conditions. So What are they supposed to do? Just, get a bottle of Muscatel and see if they can make it go away? This is ridiculous. So I would argue that people kind of think, oh, it's just going to be Black Lives Matter. It's going to be all sorts of people who are affected by this administration and who might want to take to the streets and who might be very surprised. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Great call from Joe.
Always, Joe. Thank you for your perspective. And I think you're absolutely right. It goes beyond just, your points, is that the unknowns that occur when you have a fascist state. Everyone thinks, he'll just take care of those people. Right? That's like the saying you said, Matt. Everyone thinks it's not going to be them. And I think that is the most common mistake when dealing with these kinds of scenarios where you're talking about, fascist tendencies and having those folks in charge of, the Army, the National Guard, and the Department of Justice.
Right, and what Joe was saying about the VA, that there's going to be political control of the VA, well, after the Supreme Court decision on the executive branch powers, he's going to have political control of everything in the executive branch. But look, we're looking at, with this enemies from within language, stuff straight out of George Orwell's 1984 and Animal Farm. Whatever the great leader says who the enemy is today, is the enemy today, and we'll have a new enemy tomorrow. That's how it works.
And that enemy is varied, and it changes from day to day. You could be the most valued advisor to the president ever, and the next day you're a lowly coffee boy who's cooling her heels in the slammer because you didn't bring the Diet Coke, you brought the new Coke. 855-752-4842. Jim from Appleton, you're next. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to respond to Nick's child tax credit thing.
My yes,
kids
please.
Are all in their late 30s, so obviously I'm not going to be able to qualify for a child tax credit.
Right.
But I put it down like the wheel tax that some of our cities have. It used to be a nasty, heavy assessment, which I had to pay once, to get you street repaired in front of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they finally decided to spread it out to all the people that drive on the roads in the city and put a wheel tax on. So instead of getting hit with a $3,000 bill to fix the street in front of my house, which I had to pay, everybody now has to pay $25 a year, and the street gets fixed.
Right.
You get a child tax credit if you have minor children. Great. That credit helps you raise those children.
Sure does. And it raises them, Jim, it raises them out of poverty too. Let's not forget about that minor detail, Matt. The folks that are getting this are going to use it, and they're going to use it on taking care of their family. And that money is not going to sit hoarded in a bank account somewhere. That money is going to flow through the economy.
Yeah, and Biden Harris child tax credit increase lowered child poverty by 50%, as Congresswoman Gwen Moore mentioned. That in my book is a good thing.
Mine as well. 855-752-4842. Perhaps an opposing thought on this. Our pal Gary from Sussex. Welcome, Gary. What do you got?
Well, I listened to Gwen Moore, and it's like, for me, what I hear, it's like it's a joke listening to her. Now, she calls people buffoons, fascists, MAGA, whatever they call it, whatever. But I don't know why. I'm not saying you, Dom. I'm saying, why do people on the other side of the way I believe resort to always calling people by their names?
Okay, let me give you an example. Let me be very specific, and then I'll let Matt and anyone jump in as you want. Donald Trump has specifically called out Pelosi and Adam Schiff as the enemy from within, says they're left-wing lunatics, and says that someone should use the National Guard or the Army against them. Well, what do you call that behavior? How would you describe that, if not fascist, Gary? Come up with another adjective for me, please.
I believe in my heart that if he was going to use the Army to come after people
this is what he's saying, man. This is... Come on, Gary. Let me reiterate. The former Department Secretary of Defense, Esper, we played the sound, has come out and said, yes, you should be very concerned. Former Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, come out and said, yes, this guy's fascist to the core. Now, those aren't lefty, liberal, Congresswoman Gwen Moore types, man. These are the folks that served under Donald Trump in that administration in military roles. I highly doubt these are the woke folks, Gary. If you don't like that terminology, maybe you should talk to the people Donald Trump hired.
Look, he can't do that. He cannot use the military and the National
He can.
Guard to go after
sure, he
him.
Can.
He
just declared it's an insurrection act. It's insurrection.
Yeah, he has the sole power to invoke the Insurrection Act. And
complete immunity for it.
Yeah, and the U.S. Supreme Court gave him a total green light. So what do you mean he can't do it? He can do it. He would have the power to do it, and he certainly has the inclination to do it. He told us that already.
Well, okay, this is your interpretation, and I don't
know. What would you call it, Gary? Hang on. Let's be clear. I just mentioned Milley and Esper. Do you just discount their opinions, man? They're a bunch of yo-yos, and you think they're Milley's full of it, right? They served with the guy. They don't know what they're talking about.
Milley's is, in my opinion, is a traitor. In my
traitor?
Opinion, and
why?
And not calling him a name. Yeah, I think he's just. How? First of all, we got this woke. No, listen.
What?
We got this
what? No, man, you said he's right a traitor. How is he a traitor? You got 30 seconds, Gary. How is Milley a traitor?
He has, as far as I'm concerned, the military is weak because of him.
All right. Thank you, Gary, for trying. 855-752-4842. We'll come back with some more of your phone calls. Plus, we'll do our damnedest to get some of the sound of Kamala Harris, the big sit-down over the Foxy Don't Call It News as well. We appreciate all of you listening, all of you hanging out with us. It's a phone line. It's a text line. 855-75-CIVIC. While you're at it. Not to put too fine a bun on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. The boy with a thorn in his side. Behind the hatred there. Dom Salpy Show, 855-752-4842. Gonna go back to the lines. It's a talk line, it's a text line, and we've got Cindy from Appleton on the line. Thank you, Cindy. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Well, Gary, welcome to a Hitler syndrome. I mean, Trump has called veterans low-life schmucks losers for ending up going to war. He insulted John McCain for being a war hero. He's called people all kinds of names. But, you know, when the Republicans do that, that's okay. When the Democrats do it, then it's, oh, my God, the sky is falling. But I kind of wanted to just go back to what Nick said a little bit, and I kind of get where he's coming from, because I sort of feel the same way, because I believe in zero population growth. And I don't think we should reward people for having children they can't afford. So I'm just going to throw that in there because,
come on.
You know, seriously.
What?
I mean,
what?
If you can't afford kids, you shouldn't have them.
What if you have them accidentally and you can't get access to an abortion? Then you're forced to have the kid.
I can live with one kid. I can live with one. I mean, when people were on welfare, I was okay. I said, if you make, I mean,
all right, but then are you going to pay for the operation to make sure they can't have children anymore? Is that something we want the, you know, our tax dollars to be funding?
I think that money could be better served for going into mental health programs.
Well, sure, but Cindy, I mean, do you think it's a zero-sum game? Let me ask you, do you think there's only so much money to go around? I mean, do you think that in order to provide, you know, resources to make sure children aren't in poverty as a society, that we have to somehow take away from something else?
To some degree, yes.
I mean, Cindy, this is the problem. You're punishing the children for the choices that the parents are making that you don't like their choices. But, you know, let's see who that's really adversely affecting. Yeah, it may be adversely affecting the parents, but it's really adversely affecting the children who are, you know, in dire poverty. And we don't want, no one wants children to, you know, go hungry and suffer because of the choices their parents make. So the child care tax credit, the child tax credit is the single most effective tool we have to reduce child poverty, and to disdain that, I think, is a big mistake.
Thank you for your call, Cindy, 855-752-4842. Jack from the MAC, you are next. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
The question that I have for the followers of Trump is this. Didn't your daddy ever tell you that if a man tells you he's evil, believe him? This guy has told us what he's going to do. Believe him. And it won't just be progressives like me or progressive radio stations like Civic Media. It will be everybody that's affected by this. One thing to ask themselves if they're worried about the economy also, have you ever heard of an authoritarian government that is financially successful?
Great point.
There's none in the world that I can find.
It's a great point, Jack from the Mac. Appreciate it. You could throw out maybe China there. You know, they're doing okay. I mean, they're doing okay. They're not certainly not the powerhouse of an economic force that the United States is. And they certainly have the, call it, different labor laws. But there are some, you know, authoritarian regimes that do make money. Hell, they make our iPhones, man.
Yeah, I mean, capitalism and authoritarianism can go hand in hand. They went hand in hand for two decades in Chile when Pinochet was running the show there with the generals. You know, the capitalists did great down there. But, you know, the people suffered, and that's the real issue.
855-752-4842. Let's keep going down the line. Cam from Appleton, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, I think we shouldn't even pay heed to too much or give like attention too much to the Fox News interview with Kamala, at least on our end, because I think it just boosts your numbers up because they're too busy talking about Jack Mayhoff or Drew Peacock and then the lies with Lieutenant Governor Mike Hawk, and I don't know.
Thank you for your contribution, Cam. 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Oh, I kind of got lost, you know, picking up on what the previous caller was doing there. And let's remember that under Franco, Spain didn't prosper as it was, and it was an authoritarian for how many decades was he the authoritarian there after he had tossed out the liberal government that was in Spain prior to the Civil War there? I mean, and if I remember right, I can remember Gary saying, well, he wouldn't trust Trump with his wife or his daughter, but he's trusting him with the government of the United States. And everything Trump says is just deeply disturbing. And I saw little clips of him and his little dance party that he was doing, I think on Jimmy Kimmel, and there's some women there that was later on, and these women were looking at, up on the stage, were looking at Donald Trump, and their mouths were just what dropped open from just kind of shock and the terror that I saw in their eyes. Even Kristi Noem, I saw this kind of smile on her face, but her eyes looked like
yes.
Even she's got freaky eyes, but her eyes looked like she was scared too. What the hell was going on?
She was. Everyone, it was obvious, and that's what made it so uncomfortable and weird. And thanks for the call, Mark. And they tried to play it off. I mean, Matt Christie Noem, you know, sat up there for 39 minutes clapping and trying to play it off. All the people on you see in the stands behind the former president as he's swaying side to side and clapping and singing, you know, they're kind of looking at each other, you know, what are we doing? It was the strangest thing.
Really bizarre. Shows that he's either totally losing it or that he's just so much in his own, you know, egotistical, narcissistic head that, you know, whatever the emperor wants to do, if the emperor wants to dance now, or if you call that dancing, sway to the music.
Right.
That's what it, all
wobbling.
That's what the whole audience needs to do because he's the king.
It's supposed to be a town hall. It was supposed to be a town hall. And what is it that when Donald Trump tells you something in these regards, when he acts in these fascist manners, these dark tones, that for some reason the megas don't believe. They don't believe it. Oh, he's just what? He's joking? He's being sarcastic? Is that what you think? And then, you know, you have Kamala Harris and you have, for instance, the economic plans that are looked at by independent economists and telling you, well, Kamala Harris's plan is better. You don't believe that either. I mean, what do you believe? And how do you base your decision making? It's really befuddling to me. And Donald Trump keeps continuing to spiral downward. But this program keeps getting better with your calls, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. We got a couple of those out here. Here's one from the 608. The government needs people to raise children so they can join the workforce and continue to pay for the government. If people cannot afford to have children, lower birth rates will cause economical problems. So I guess that, you know, we need a growing population one way or the other. Matt, it's either going to be with children, you know, being born, or with migrants coming in. I mean, those are the two ways that it happens.
I mean, this idea that we just shouldn't pay for kids getting out of poverty, I think is crazy. So I mean, that's the child care, the child tax credit. That's what it does primarily, is help the kids get out of poverty. And these people don't like the fact that people are having kids. You're not going to stop people from having kids.
No.
I mean, even Chinese government going to do that.
All you need is an aspirin. And you take that aspirin, you put it between your knees, and then you just, that's all you need. That's your birth control, and you stop having kids, right? Yeah.
Dom, no.
Who was that Republican no. elected official? Yeah, that was his birth control method.
Oh, my goodness, right? 855-752-4842. Let's talk about some happy things. Man, you know what makes me happy is Minnesota Governor Walz. This guy, when you hear him talk, and can I just share with you guys, the SNL is doing a great job, I think, right now. If you watched any of the recent SNLs this year, of portraying both Vice President Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they're doing a bang up job. But this will be, we're gonna play.
Also, let me just interrupt. Dana Carvey, yes, on Biden doing Biden is just a killer too.
Oh, real, for real. Oh, I know, it's so good. I can't even fake it. It's so good and entertaining, and it actually hits a little close to home. And so thank you, President Biden, for stepping down and passing that baton.
And she's done such a great job catching the baton and running with it. I really admire. She's, you know, been in it now for 3 months, barely had a misstep the whole time. Very inspiring person, very smart, very intelligent, very calm, reasonable, decent.
She puts forth policy.
Yeah, she.
I really appreciate that. I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah, the details are there for everyone who wanted details. They're right there, and she's just comported herself like a real leader, like a really decent human being who you can see as president of the United States. And compared to the other guy, I mean, he's just made a fool of himself.
It is. And he's talking about unleashing the power of the state against his political adversaries.
Yeah,
and
more than a fool, he's very, very scary.
There's real consequence to that. And if he were to get in and act on that and be supported by the sycophants and the continual enablers, and hell, he's got whatever's left of the Republican Party and the MAGA Party as his foot soldiers, quote unquote. It could be a very terrible situation. And I hate to think in those terms. I got to think to myself, if you see Donald Trump in the last couple of days, I mean, that interview with Bloomberg at the Chicago Economic Club, it was just absolutely terrible. You guys, I'm not even kidding you. I mean, this guy, he couldn't answer a question.
Yeah. And I know some people who have traditionally voted Republican who are business people, kind of the people that Gwen Moore was talking about in the last hour, traditional Republicans not voting for Trump this time. He's too off the wall. He's too scary. He's too incoherent. He's too narcissistic. It's one of the reasons I think he's going to lose. I think the Liz Cheney folks are, going to come around and not vote for him. And there's a whole bunch of women who are not going to vote for this guy. And those two things combined with the Democratic Party's get out the vote efforts, I think that's what's going to put Kamala Harris over the top. But my credit goes to Kamala Harris primarily because I think she's done such a good job.
She really has. I think she continues to coalesce. And, when we talk about bringing a bipartisanship and working together, there's going to be zero of that coming out of the MAGA party. And the Republicans that have come out and endorsed Kamala Harris, and apparently today she had about 100 Republicans on stage with her, at least at her rally. That's bipartisanship. And these are, generally former Republicans, because you can't be a quote-unquote Republican in the MAGA party in today's party and talk about bipartisanship and talk about, concerns for this country, given the fascist tendencies and certainly the statements. You can't talk about the enemy within. I mean, folks, really, you got to think about these terms and not only what he's saying, what he's specifying with specific political adversaries. Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, calls them crazy left lunatics, and something's got to be done about it. I mean, these are not the words of a leader trying to bring us together to work for we the people. This is vindictive. It's dangerous, and we need to do is look at history, not even ancient history,
right,
to see the ramifications of continuing to go down that road.
And I think there is a craving among a majority of Americans for a calmer politics, nicer politics, bipartisan politics coming together. I mean, there is, bloodlust among the cult, no doubt, which is really scary. But I don't think even, half of the people who are going to vote for Trump are in the cult. I think there's, a fraction who are, there's a fraction who are, business people. There's a fraction of people who always voted Republican. There's a fraction who say, well, it's my team against their team. But I do think most Americans want a more decent politics. And that's, I hope, what's going to put her over the top.
Amen, brother. 855-752-4842. We talked about some of the walls. Let's perhaps get to that, if you would, please, just now. Again, the state of Wisconsin being overrun. I mean, we're filthy with politicians these days. I believe Walls was in Green Bay, yesterday, 2 days ago. I don't think the sound is from Green Bay, but let's get to some of that sound. Let's hear what Walls had to say initially talking about gun owners. And I've heard this from Republicans that, Kamala Harris is going to take your gun away. They keep it's these same old things they keep going back to. I mean, at least this lie isn't racist, but it's still misguided. Let's hear Walls cut number one, please.
You got it.
This might be the first time in modern American history that both members of the Democratic ticket are gun owners. And the Republican nominee can't pass a background check to own a gun.
Oof. Ouch. Snap.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts just a little bit because it's true.
He knows how to line up those zingers.
You know what the right-wingers are doing, though, on Fox and right-wing talk radio? I happened to be scanning the radio while I was driving home from Minnesota the other day. They're saying, he really doesn't know how to hunt. He really doesn't know how to load his rifle. He doesn't know how to shoot a pheasant. We've seen the video of him shooting the pheasant.
I mean,
it was a deep fake, Matt.
Right.
That was a stuffed pheasant.
And I get his point, you know, because there are those that are really, really down on the gun thing. And you know, I own guns, you know, so what? You know, we have a right to bear arms, and the really what we're talking about is to what degree, you know what I mean? And I don't think anyone's really considering the fact, no one can be armed. No one's saying that. No one has ever said that. It's a matter of what's appropriate for us when we bear those arms, you know what I'm saying? And as we get, as technology and the years pass and the weapon systems get better and better, I don't think that we need quote unquote weapons of war, weapons of battle on the streets. I just, you know, because those are the things that kids get their hands on, and they're mass killing machines, mm-hmm. regardless of whose hands they are in.
Yeah, we certainly don't need more of that.
No, we don't need more of that. And we're talking about just, you know, regulation on the edges. We're not talking about those rights. And for Tim Walz to be a hunter, for the vice president to, you know, state that she owns a weapon. Yeah, and so do lots of people. So Republicans, get over yourself. They're not coming for your guns. Let's hear more from Tim Walz.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, cut number two.
Yeah, this is about the build event as a town hall that turned into something quite different.
He stopped taking questions and stood frozen on stage for 30 minutes while they played his Spotify list to people. Do you think he knows the story behind the YMCA song?
No, I don't. And another awkward moment was when Kristi Noem was sitting on stage and that song came up. She started doing a little like, what are we doing here? It's been the YMCA.
I mean, that vindicates Tim Walz's adjective weird for this guy. It couldn't have been weirder the other night.
Doesn't it, though? And it wasn't just, again, it wasn't just Donald Trump. Of course, he's the weirdest of them all. But if you're, I have to come up with a situation where I would stand there for almost 40 minutes while a political figure that I went to go see, have a town hall and talk about, you know, very specific issues and, you know, get my support, keep my support, and hopefully reach out to other folks and get their support. You know, what does it say about the folks that would sit there for 39 minutes and sway along with their dear leader? It's just very strange to me. But let's continue on with the very funny and uplifting Mr. Governor Walz. Cut three, please.
Sure. One more time. Calling it as he sees it.
It was strange, but if this was your grandfather, you would take the keys away. You would take the keys away. And I tell you this, look, it would be funny if this guy were not running for president of the United States.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and that's where the buzzkill comes in. You know what I mean? Like, you're absolutely right, Walz. You're wowing and laugh and figure, yes, take away the keys and, you know. Oh yeah. But he is literally that close to being the president of the United States again.
Right.
And that's what gets me apoplectic this week as I see the polls narrowing and narrowing. How is that possible? How is it possible this guy has shown himself to be so totally unfit for office in every way that you could measure that, and so dangerous, and how can it be closing the gap? And scares me. Got to be real with you. It's scary.
It is troubling, but you know, all we can do is continue to inform the people what we perceive as being the problem here, and what we perceive as, again, because I wouldn't have him for a guest on the show. You know what I mean? I wouldn't invite him over for dinner.
Hey, Robin Voss doesn't want him as his neighbor, but he's
vote for him. And that's the hard part. But I would say this: when we as we get closer, and as the heat gets hotter, and when Donald Trump goes out and does these weird things, and they're getting, I think if you look at the trend line, they're getting more and more strange, and they're getting more and more common. But the whole business thing, you go to this economic club in Chicago yesterday, and I don't use the term lightly, crap the bed. I mean, you're talking to business folks. This guy used to be with The Economist, and now he's with Bloomberg. He knows what he's talking about. You can't pull the wool, business wool. You can't talk about finances and tariffs and global economic circumstances with a guy like that and just think you're going to be able to pull the wool over his eyes and, roundabout and weave your way through a conversation.
And it's not the first time. I mean, he was with the Business Roundtable a month ago, and he was not answering their questions. And, you know, these folks are smart. They know their economics. They know their profit and loss statements. They know what moves markets. They know economic policy. And when you can't, you know, be articulate about those important issues, it really shows you cannot BS your way around that crowd. And he proved it then, and he proved it again in Chicago with that economic thing that that you're talking about.
Yeah, he's consistent in that regard. And again, these are smart folks. You know, they understand the business world, let's call it the economic world. And one of the things that folks in those positions are very concerned about is can we keep a consistent economy going?
Stability. They want stability.
Exactly. Do we have stability? Can we project? Can we understand? Can we predict what will happen next quarter, 2 quarters from now, a year from now? Because for better or worse, those are many of the timelines, especially talking about quarterly bonuses, that a lot of these folks are working on. And if you don't have that consistency, and it can be very bad for business. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That is Matt Rothschild. We got Jess on the board. We got one more segment. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about the money. We had Congresswoman Gwen Moore talking about your right to vote and your value of your vote. And your vote is just as powerful, just as strong as Elon Musk's vote. Now, unfortunately, he has a little more money than we do. Come back. We'll dive into that 855-752-4842. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now. 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild in studio and filling in for me tomorrow and Friday. I will be out of town. Matt, thank you so much for helping out here at Civic Media. Now, some of you may know him, formerly with the Progressive, of course, the author of the book 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin, and the new Wisconsin Forward podcast rolling out here on the Civic Media Network. But this is where I want your expertise, Matt, former executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We had Nick Ramos, the current director, on earlier this week. Matt, that was your old role, counting the money, checking the money going on in the politics. And let me throw a couple of numbers out to you, if I may, from CNN. Some of the world's wealthiest figures, led by conservative donor Miriam Adelson and tech billionaire Elon Musk, have funneled tens of millions of dollars into political groups in recent months to boost Trump's White House bid. Now, Musk, of course, the world's richest person, gave nearly $75 million to a pro-Trump super PAC that he helped form over the summer. Adelson, a staunch Trump backer and heir to casino fortune, gave even more, plowing $95 million into another outside group backing the former president, according to the FEC. Altogether, and this is stunning to me, just three billionaires, Elon Musk, Miriam Adelson, and wait for it, Wisconsin, Midwest packaging magnate Richard Uihlein, donated roughly $220 million in a three-month period.
I mean,
not total.
Holy shnikes.
In 3 months, $220 million in 3 months from three billionaires. That seems like a whole lot of free speech, Matt.
It is just an obscenity, isn't it? I mean, this is the revenge of Citizens United. Citizens United, the U.S. Supreme Court decision in 2010 that said super rich people can just spend absolutely as much money as they possibly ever dreamed of to try to tell us who to elect or who to oppose in an election, so long as they don't coordinate with the candidate themselves, but you know they're helping out that candidate. I mean, it makes a mockery of the idea that we have an equal say in our democracy. I mean, that's the fundamental fact. I can't spend $220 million. I can't spend $95 million. I can't spend $1 million. I can't spend $100,000. I can't spend $20,000 or $10,000. or even $1,000 on someone who I want to see. I've never spent money like that.
Hey, man, can I borrow 10 bucks, Matt?
I can get you a beer. But that's about right. I mean, it's just ridiculous that these three individuals can drown out millions of American voices who have no capacity to enter into the political arena the way they're entering the political arena. I mean, Gwen Moore was right. In the voting booth, we all have as much say as Elon Musk or Miriam Adelson or Richard Uihlein, but we don't have as much say right now. They have a lot more say than we do. And there's something fundamentally wrong about that in a democracy. And, you know, the Citizens United decision and some other bad U.S. Supreme Court decisions going back to the 19th century allowed this to happen. The idea that corporations are persons, the idea that money is speech, those are falsehoods. And we are being adversely affected by these falsehoods right now. And it's just, it's disgusting when you see the amount of money. And this is what this money is paying for, all that mud that's splattering on all our screens right now, whether it's a TV screen or phone or a computer screen.
Matt, is there any solace that the Harris campaign has raised over $1 billion since she announced? Obviously, a lot of small donors, but there's some big money going there as well. Does that help even it out? Is it just all kind of gross?
Well, it's all kind of gross. I'm heartened by the number of small donors she's getting. But, you know, by and large, our politics shouldn't be a tug of war between, you know, three right-wing billionaires and, you know, three left-wing billionaires. I mean, you know, in a democracy, we're all supposed to have an equal tug on the rope here, and we just don't. It's ugly, really ugly.
And it needs to be addressed, hopefully, in our lifetimes, but don't keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, we've got to overturn Citizens United. Maggie Dawn was talking about it with her guest today. And there are efforts underway in this country, here in Wisconsin, with Wisconsin United to amend, and all across the country with the Move to Amend movement. That, I hope, will happen in my lifetime. We've got to overturn Citizens United, or we got to get better U.S. Supreme Court justices to do it. And the way to do that is to elect Kamala Harris, because she'll have some appointees to make.
Or expand the court. 855-752-4842. Keith from Middleton, you will have the last caller word today. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Oh, did you say Keith? I couldn't hear
you. Yep, Keith, you're up. Yep, welcome.
Hey, Matt, thank you very much for your comments about Citizens United. My concern with the Citizens United, I'm going to change what I was going to talk about because of this, is that I don't think it's any longer just Republicans who are going to be backing the fight against overturning it. I think enough Democrats are seeing money in their coffers from Citizens United that they're not as eager as they should be to overturn that. Do you agree?
Totally agree with you, Keith. Thanks for the call from Middleton. Yeah, I mean, this problem is a bipartisan problem because the Democrats have learned to play in the big money arena too. And, you know, it's just not the case that they should spend the majority of their time, you know, cuddling up to the super billionaires and not talking to the rest of us. And those super, super rich people shouldn't have so much say, whether they're liberals or whether they're conservatives. We got to overturn Citizens United and get some more equality in the political arena.
My man, Matt Rothschild, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for filling in on the seat for the next couple of days. Thank you, Jess, working hard on the board. They will be back with you tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Make sure you tune in. Matt, I know you got some guests lined up. Anyone you want to share right now?
Angela Lang, Black Leaders Organizing for Community. She'll be here, and Joe Zabecki, too.
Excellent. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Jess. Thank you, Congresswoman Gwen Moore. Thank you all. I will be back in the chair on Monday. Have a great weekend. We'll see you real soon.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.